Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast for today. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're going to tackle what for some of you may be an unusual subject. And you might say, well, why does this subject have a place in a discussion of intelligent medicine? Our topic is mold and mold detection. And the reason is mold may play a significant role in a wide variety of medical conditions. Our guest is Stephen Levy. Steve is the founder and president of Certified Mold Inspections. For over a decade, Certified Mold Inspections is a company dedicated to the detection and prevention of microbial contaminants in your indoor environment. So today's Intelligent Medicine is going to look at the issue of, could your home be a sick environment, an environment that is beset with mold toxicity? Steve has other certifications, the Institute of Inspection, Cleaning and Restoration Certification, and is a water restoration specialist, odor control specialist, and he's performed well over 5,000 mold-specific investigations. He's a little bit like Ghostbusters, but you might call it Moldbusters because he goes into home and office industrial environments, and he has a methodology by which he can determine whether mold is a problem. He's a detective. He also has continuing education seminars and courses on mold for New Jersey state agencies. And he's written several case studies on mold investigations and testing results. So without further ado, here's Steve Levy. Steve, it's a pleasure having you on Intelligent Medicine.
Well, thank you for having me, Doctor. It's really an honor and a pleasure to be on the call today.
Well, it's my pleasure, too. So, first of all, what are some of the implications of mold toxicity, other than, you know, it might smell bad? Could it have an impact on our health?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that we've been really concentrating on as a company is working with a population of people who predominantly have been maybe exposed to some kind of environmental mold toxin within their home. And, you know, one of the things that we've been really seeing very consistently is that it's not just your traditional types of symptoms that most people would think, for example, like sinusitis or respiratory. Actually, you know, molds can produce some very, very potent mycotoxins, which can inevitably cause a variety of different health issues that can range from inflammation in the body. It could trigger certain types of autoimmune issues. And it's amazing that if you look at a lot of the different types of medical conditions that many people are afflicted with, from Lyme to MS, those kinds of conditions can be exacerbated if someone is in a mold-compromised home.
Indeed. You know, I'll just share with you and our listeners a recent case study from my practice. A guy who I've been treating for a long time, he's done really well because he came to me very allergic and really kind of sick. This is about 10, 12 years ago. And we put him on a great diet. We gave him supplements and we cleared it all up. He's doing fabulous. He looks literally rejuvenated and he's embarked on a very rigorous physical training program. He looks like an Adonis, you know, one of these guys who's really into fitness. However, he called me up a few months back and he said, I don't know what's going on. I'm suddenly very allergic and I'm having trouble breathing. And I said, gee, you know, it sounds like that stuff that I was treating you for in the beginning is coming back. You know, perhaps you've gone off this careful diet. And which is uncharacteristic for him because he's a real serious guy and he stuck to the diet. You know, he wasn't even putting any vinegar on his salad. He was, you know, it was a Candida diet, yeast-free diet, no mold sources in his diet whatsoever because we knew he was sensitive to mold. So he said, no. He says, I've been really careful with diet. It can't be that. So I posed the question, but I said, is anything different in your house? Have you had a recent flood? Are you having any problems with moisture in your house? And he said, no. And I said, well, nonetheless, things have changed, and maybe you should get a mold inspection. That's where you come in, Steve. I know that you didn't probably perform the actual inspection in this case, but nonetheless, he had a mold inspection, and a guy snooped around his house and found that there was a, I guess it was a water softener that he had, which was something that was like a water reservoir that he had hidden behind a cabinet. And because the water was cold and because the air was warm and humid, water condensation formed on the tank. And this is probably something you're familiar with, but yeah, I'd never heard of it. And as a result, there was this fine sort of layer of furry material inside the cabinet. And the guy tested for mold in certain parts of the house. And lo and behold, the mold counts are very high. So he did whatever was required to do the proper environmental correction. And gradually, his symptoms abated. So a real success in terms of, you know, sometimes when you can't find the problem with the patient, you look at the environment, and the home, the office setting could be a trigger.
Yeah, you know, we see that all the time. We get calls almost daily from people who will say, you know, I'm not really feeling right. I've gone through, you know, a slew of different doctors who really can't find anything wrong with me. And I'm beginning to think that it may be my environment, but I'm not really seeing mold. And so what we find when we go into people's homes is that, as this gentleman that you talked about probably experience, is that, you know, molds are not readily visible. And in fact, you know, molds come in a variety of looks, shades, and colors. And mold really is nothing more than a symptom of a much bigger problem, that being water and moisture intrusion. And so water and moisture intrusion can come in a lot of forms. It can come in the form of something that's very apparent, liquid pooling water, a bursted pipe, or a leak. But then it can come in the form of what you just described, and that is something that can be very deceiving, condensation that's hidden, that creates just a little bit of moisture that can colonize certain mold types that don't require a whole lot of water activity. And so because molds grow based on water activity, what happens is that you will get different kinds of molds that will grow based on the water activity that may be occurring in the home. And so the early colonizing molds, the Penicillium aspergillus, don't require a whole lot of water activity. In fact, they can grow literally with just a high relative humidity of 65% or more. Can be very deceiving, and people would swear that they are living in a bone dry environment and there's no issues. Those are the ones that can be very impactful to people, because that can get up into the air, then it gets into the ventilation systems, and then you've got a distribution source that's perpetually influencing the environment and causing some issues. And, you know, what we find is that it doesn't matter what the treatment protocol is. If someone is constantly being re-exposed to mold, exposure will always win out. You may get some temporary relief, but at the end of the day, what's going to happen is that the exposure will begin to win out, and unfortunately, they'll start to see a decline.
So, Steve, one of the things that I often ask patients, rightly or wrongly, because I'm not an expert in this, is whether they have a forced hot air system in the house or whether they have a radiator heating, because forced hot air, it seems to me, is particularly likely to harbor mold, because there's ducting in the house, you know, out of sight, out of mind. You're not even sure what kind of gunk is accumulating there. Is this really a problem, or am I, you know, just making an arbitrary distinction here?
No, it's a huge problem. In fact, I would tell you about 65% of all indoor air quality issues can point right back to the HVAC system or the forced air heating and air conditioning system. And so essentially what happens is what we find so very commonly is that the systems get dirty. They're not cleaned on a consistent basis. And what we're also seeing, which is really a big, big problem, is that a lot of the homes actually have the return duct system that basically flows right through the wall and ceiling cavities. They're not hard duct. So most of the time, what will happen is that when you get the air circulating, return air runs under negative pressure. So when that return air is going through the wall and ceiling cavity, it's not only sucking the air from the ambient area, but it's pulling and sucking the contaminants that may be inside the wall cavity because the system's not hard ducted. Mm-hmm. We find that very, very commonly in homes where people have been experiencing some issues.
So
mold can harbor in the dust. It can harbor in the interstitial areas of the ductwork, the motor, and can be very, very difficult to clean.
And what about air conditioning systems? You know, sometimes I look at the condition of my air conditioner and I go, boy, that's kind of musty. Is that just dust, or could it also harbor mold? And then just, you know, when you think you're getting fresh air, you're just blowing mold spores into your home.
Yeah, exactly. You know, air conditioning systems, basically what they do is they pull warm, moist air out of a room, pull it into the system, and then that air is going to flow over what's called coils. Now, the coils are cold. When that warm, moist air flows over the coils, it condenses on the coils, creating a lot of water and moisture. If there's mold in the environment, what will happen is the spores are riding the air convection wave, and they're going to, many times, because there's a wet environment inside the HVAC system where the coils are, a lot of times you're going to find mold colonizing in the system. What we also find, too, is a lot of times people try to get as much as they can out of their air conditioning units, and many times they're way past their life cycle. And which means that the systems become inefficient. And when they're inefficient, they're not pulling a lot of the moisture of that the relative humidity out of the home. And so you'll have pockets of area that are higher in relative humidity enough where it can colonize mold. And mold starts to grow in these pockets of areas. And as that happens, that the spores get up the air and then they get into the system, and the system can not only get even more contaminated, but is now a distribution source for the spores to be distributed throughout the entire house.
So one common misconception is that if you don't smell a musty odor, then you probably don't have mold. True or false?
That is a major misconception. You know, just because you don't see it, don't smell it, doesn't mean it's not there. Molds are very interesting organisms. They have a tendency to go in and out of a dormant state. You'll find that molds will start to develop that musty smell when you have a rise in temperature as well as relative humidity, when you start to get moist conditions. And then when it gets colder, we have low temperatures, low relative humidity. Molds have a tendency to go into what's called a dormant state. And, you know, the musty smell is really the secondary metabolite, the waste that molds give off when they're breaking down dead matter and they're biodegrading. Molds are very, very important to our ecology. They break down dead matter, they biodegrade it. Without mold, we'd have garbage and leaves piled miles high. But the last place you want to have mold is in your home, because molds can be very, very territorial. They can be not only an allergen, but if you get molds that are in a competing environment where they start to compete against one another, they can produce very potent mycotoxins.
Well, yeah, absolutely. We should get into the issue of mycotoxins, because there's sort of two aspects to mold problems, as you alluded to earlier. One is that you can simply be allergic to molds, you know, just like you're allergic to pollen or allergic to dust, and that can cause bothersome symptoms, eye burning, sometimes respiratory problems, asthma, nasal congestion, or even skin itching. But then there's the issue, and it's quite separate and distinct, and it's actually more serious, and that is mycotoxins. So can you help us differentiate between the two types of problems?
Yeah, absolutely. Mold in and of itself is an allergen, as you mentioned, but there is a byproduct of mold, especially certain water damage molds that produce a very, very potent mycotoxin, and they do that in an attempt to protect their colonies. As I mentioned, molds are territorial. They're very competitive. When there is a competing environment of different molds in the environment and they start to infiltrate each other's colonies, they produce these very potent mycotoxins to ward off these other molds. that many times people living in the environment can get caught in that crossfire. And there's been studies that show that these mycotoxins are insidious. They can get into the body. They can cause mitochondria damage, which can throw the whole body off. It can create symptoms of chronic fatigue. It can create, as I mentioned earlier, autoimmune diseases, inflammation in the body, and all these different kinds of conditions that people don't even really associate with mold exposure. So the mycotoxin exposure creates a whole different other kind of symptoms that many times people don't realize it could be their environment.
And immunosuppression is one of those, too. I mean, you mentioned autoimmunity, but often exposure to mycotoxins can cause people to lose their immune defenses, and they just get vulnerable to other types of infections, respiratory infections, pneumonia that may not be fungal in origin just because their immune systems are down.
Right. Yeah, these mycotoxins have a way of creating, as I mentioned, mitochondria damage. It can get into the body and create all kinds of havoc that can really, really suppress the immune system. That's exactly right.
Indeed. Take us on a tour, as you might conduct an inspection. First of all, can people undertake their own home testing as a prelude to getting in an inspector? Because what I sometimes do is I say, before you call for an inspector, which can be costly, maybe put out some mold plates, or even better, there are kind of suction apparatuses that you can, they're battery operated, you can put them around the house, they suck in the air, and then they capture various amounts of air and put them on plates inside these collectors, mm-hmm. and then you'll culture out whatever's in the air, whether it's dust or mold. You can actually see what's there, and then you may not know how to remediate it. That's when they call an expert like you in.
Yeah, that's exactly right. People can do a home inspection to look for mold in their house. One of the things that they've got to be really careful about is the mold plates that a lot of times are used really only give you partial story. They're collecting the settlement of what the spores are actually settling out into the plate. Many times the alga that's being used may not be the kind of food source that's going to allow certain molds that are in the environment to grow.
So you can miss it.
The other thing, too, is there's also technology. There's one you may know about called ERMI, which stands for Environmental Relative Moldy Index. It was developed by the EPA some years back as a research tool that helps identify up to 36 different mold types down to the species level. And many people can take settled dust from the house and send it in, and that'll give you an indication of the population of molds that are in the environment. And so that's a good screen. But again, all those initial types of technologies are just that, they're screens, because once you have the results, the question is, all right, now what do you do? Mm-hmm. And so that's when you would bring in an expert such as us to come in and do a really, really thorough evaluation and get into the home and do a deep dive to find out where these sources might be harboring.
Okay, and that's precisely what we're going to do in part two of today's podcast, assuming that there's a good chance that you might be subject to mold exposure. What does an environmental expert like today's guest, Steve Levy, do in terms of evaluating your risk of mold exposure and also ultimately remediating the problem? What steps need to be taken? We'll cover that in part two of today's podcast. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. The subject is indoor health and mold toxicity, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.